Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a weekly RC aviation podcast.
Drones, oh no, it's the tech of the drone.
Quadcopters, remember?
Oh yeah, we're talking about quads. Tech of the drones.
Yeah, you got 80. For selective listening.
I've got three quads. I don't remember listening to you. I got three quads.
All right, welcome to episode number 39 of RC Hangar Time. This week, we've got a familiar face with this. Well, name, I should say. I don't really see his face on here. You guys probably don't see his face
either.
Thank God. Yeah, pretty scary. But anyways, TJ's back. What have you been up to, TJ?
Yo, hey, time, dude. How's it going?
Going good. What you been up to, man?
Working.
Working awesome. Hard.
Flying hard, flying my quads, flying my planes, whatever I can drum up. It's been good.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while.
Oh, no, it's been a long time.
Yeah, well, the reason TJ's here is Brian had to work late tonight, so TJ's filling in for him. And
you couldn't get anybody else to do it, so you got to scrape the barrel.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just call on everybody. I called like 400 people, and TJ was the only one that was available. So I was like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, the kids are gone. The wife's gone. I'm ready to play.
Hey, it worked out perfect for everyone.
I think Ryan was just testing you. I don't think he's really working late. He's watching the World Cup.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, crap. World Cup's on? All right, I'll talk to you later, guys.
Awesome. Yeah, it's good to have you back on, TJ.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's good to be back on.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll pop in every now and then and give us more stuff. Yeah. Cool. What about you, Dustin? What have you been up to this week?
I've just been working on some of my quads also. I tore down my TBS Discovery and did some work on my NASA. Did a mod for the barometer and just doing a little tune-up on it. Just been flying it pretty hard for the last little while and thought I'd just, you know, do some regular maintenance on it. And then I built a new VTEL from a Simplecopter frame, and I've been pounding the heck out of that this last week and put a Mobius on that, flew it around and got a little bit of footage from it and just kind of testing the waters with that, just getting it dialed in and tuned up. And that's about it for that.
Awesome. Sounds good. Sounds like you've been busy.
Yeah, I try. Work, kids, quadcopters. I fit it in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's good.
How about you, Mike? What have you been up to?
Same old. You know, just work and haven't done any flying this week. But I've been tinkering around with the 700 Nitro. When I was at the Fun Fly, I was having some issues with some glow and fueling and, you know, wiring is acting weird, so.
Did you mix fuel again?
No, I didn't mix any fuel, but just trying to rewire it, trying to work out some bugs in it and, you know, get it to be working right. It was just being temperamental last time, so just wanted to go through it and make sure everything's good on it, changed all the fuel tubing and, you know, rewiring it, cleaned it up a little bit, so hopefully that'll help.
Yeah, it kind of sucks when you have a problem and you have an idea what it is, but there's like no definite, oh, this is the problem, and you know, you got to fly it to see if the problem's still there or just kind of hope that you don't pound it into the ground.
Yeah, no kidding. It's always fun to troubleshoot problems, especially on a heli, a nitro heli nonetheless.
Yeah.
Could be a number of things. So hopefully I can get it narrowed down and get out sometime this week and do some flying if the weather will hold out. It's looking pretty windy and rainy this week, so let's see what it looks like.
Yeah, definitely been fighting the wind a little bit here. I had to work around some of the little wind storms. You think, oh yeah, I'm going to run out after work, and you get outside and there's 30 mile an hour gusts, and you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna put it up.
Yeah, save it for another day. But other than that, that's about it for me.
Right on.
Cool. Well, should we get into our broken prop moment?
Oh, sweet. I like this guy.
Yeah.
And now, a broken prop moment with your most awesomest host, Barbecue Flyer. really, Mike? It's bad enough. You only give me less than 4 minutes for my own segment, and now you're making me do my own intros? This is complete bull.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was waiting on my musical introduction. I see Mike has gypped me again. Oh well. Anyways, welcome to another thrilling Broken Prop moment with your illustrious host, me, Barbecue Flyer. Today's topic is about a drone. What's that? Oh, my mistake. They're not drones. They're multicopters. Okay. A multicopter, a pole, and a tree. Or another idiotic way to use your RC skills, number 67. A fellow flyer was at a family reunion, flying his TBS Discovery that he purchased from Mike Connor, wowing his family with his skills and ability when one of his cousins managed to get a Frisbee stuck way up high in a tree. They attempted many different ways to extricate the Frisbee from said tree, but to no avail. And after they all but gave up on getting back their simple, cheaply bought from anywhere flying disc of a Frisbee, their cousin came up with the idea of using the complex, expensive multicopter to retrieve it. Our friend debated this idea and decided that this was a wonderful and amazing idea. So, he proceeds to strap a tent pole to his quad, and he takes off. He at least was using a spotter. Seeing this commotion, I'm sure he had 40 spotters. Anyways, he made several attempts, but wasn't able to knock it out of the tree. And he took one final, yes, final attempt, and gunned the quad and the pole into the tree. And you guessed it, proceeded to get the pole wedged. This caused the quad to overreact and started flipping itself, and as it did this, it broke loose and sped quickly into the ground. Destroyed one arm, four props, and the landing gear. Even I saw this one coming. The moral here is next time your cousin comes up with a neat new way to use your quadcopter, tell him to go to the damn store and buy a new Frisbee. This has been a Broken Prop Moment with Barbecue Flyer. And if you have a story for a Broken Prop Moment, just email us at crash@rchangertime.com. Thanks, and keep flying.
Hey, Barbecue Flyer here with your host, Mike Connor.
Hi, Barbecue.
Hey, Mike. Crashed anything lately?
You know me, all the time.
That's what I thought. Anyways, I just wanted to remind you all, if you had a broken prop moment that you'd like for me to share, just email us at crash@rchangertime.com. That's crash at rchangertime.com.
That's how you spell hanger. You're my hero, Barbecue.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, that was an interesting broken prop moment. Cool. Should we get into the topic?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
All right. This week's topic is Attack of the Drones. We're going to talk about quadcopters and talk about, you know, what we're building and what to get into if you're looking to get started into a quad. And most importantly, not to call it a drone. It is not a drone. The word is frowned upon in the, you know, in the RC community and as flyers and stuff. So calling it a drone is just not right. It's the media and everything giving, you know, our hobby a bad name. So, you know, just putting that out there. Don't call it a drone. Call it, you know,
quadcopter. I don't know. I think we should all embrace the name and then just scare and terrorize everybody with them. Just kidding.
Right. I think a lot of people in the hobby have kind of, you know, I mean, for a while there, the drone was like the definite swear word, but a lot of people in the hobby are kind of coming around, but the news media still, they're pounding the heck out of it. And they, you know, now I've even seen stories about, you know, planes and just, you know, other RC things, and people are calling them drones too. It just gets blown out of proportion so fast.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might be easier to call it a drone if you're explaining it to somebody that doesn't know anything about it, and they're like, oh, a drone, I know what that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, a drone has weapons, and it can fly by itself and kill things.
Yeah, you know, you go fly at the park, you get a bunch of people, you know, gather around you. This happened to me the other day. I was over at one of the ball fields, and my kids were playing on the park, and I was just doing some test flying, and the people, you know, they kind of surround you, so you put it down so they can see it and ask you questions and, you know, make sure everybody's safe. And, you know, that's the instant question. Oh, is that a drone? So, you know, let them call it a drone. They'll explain, no, this is a multi-rotor, or this is a quadcopter, you know, kind of educate them just a little bit too, so that when they, you know, run off to talk to one of their friends, they're not, oh yeah, we were at the park and we saw this drone and it was flying around. And next thing you know, you got a bunch of people telling a bunch of crazy stories that, you know, aren't true. So
yeah, next thing you know, you're going to have the cops showing up your door. You're flying a drone?
Yeah. Some lady pulling your shirt off at the beach saying you're filming everybody at the beach.
Yeah, that's pretty sad that, you know, that video is circulating around. And
hey, did you see that story?
Yeah, that's, you know, that I feel bad for that kid. He did not deserve that, and that definitely wasn't warranted by that girl. She really jumped to conclusions really fast and flew off the handle for no reason.
Well, and if he hadn't have videotaped.
Yeah, her beating the crap out of him.
We're back.
Start off with, if he hadn't have videotaped.
If he... Stand by while we experienced technical difficulties. No, I was saying, yeah, if he hadn't have videotaped that lady assaulting him, I mean, the cops were so quick to take her side about it, and they were going to jump on him about, you know, flying and videotaping the beach, and that he assaulted her. And if he hadn't, you know, at least recorded it with his phone, I mean, the poor kid himself would have been in trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, at least he had that evidence.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the thing that you need to be cautious with. You know, if you're flying in a public area, you're at a park or something like that, you got to just, you know, you got to be the cautious one. You can't just think that you're going to win the battle, because if somebody calls the cops on you and they have a legitimate story, oh, he's flying that drone around and he's taking pictures of me, you know, they're obviously going to want to see the camera. They're going to want you to play back what, you know, what you have.
Oh, yeah.
It could end up being that your stuff is confiscated until, you know, you can prove your story right. So, you know, if you got someone out there that's hassling you, or, you know, I hope he started packing up his stuff and just said, you know, I'm going to leave before the situation got heated. And hopefully he didn't try to take a stance right off the bat. But,
and that's what it looked like he was doing. He was getting his batteries and trying to pack up and leave. And she just kind of came out and attacked him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just jumped him out of nowhere. But, you know, that's pretty smart what you were saying, Dustin. You got to be aware and let others actually be aware of what you're doing. And if, you know, the authorities or anybody else comes up and asks you about what you're doing, you got to be able to properly explain to them what you are doing.
Yeah, you know, about a year ago, I had a guy come to me from a golf course, and he said, hey, you know, I'd like you to come run your quadcopter at my golf course and just take some aerial shots. I have another guy who's going to put a couple little segments of video together for a commercial. I would just like some aerial stuff, you know. And I said, yeah, that's fine. I would like one of your employees to be with me the entire time. You know, I want to take a card. I want to set everything up. And, you know, every time we came across somebody, he said, hey, we're going to be shooting some footage. You know, are you okay being on camera? And, you know, some people were not okay with it. You know, you know, if you just assume that everyone's fine with it and they're not afraid of what you're doing, you know, you could get yourself in some trouble.
Yeah, definitely a good idea to take the right precautions to cover yourself, too, you know. You're on the right track there. I like what you got going on there, Dustin.
Yeah, protect yourself, because nobody else is going to do it for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right on. Well, now that we've sidetracked on this awesome story that flooded Facebook and about every email message I got last week.
Well, did you guys see this week's from this weekend? The one of the quad that was knocked out of the air in L.A. when the Kings won? There was it was saw it on the news this morning, and also saw it online and on the paper that people were screaming that it was
LAPD drone flying over the crowd, and they started throwing shoes and stuff at it, and they finally knocked it out of the air. But somebody videotaped it, you see it flying, that it's just a somebody's personal quad. They were flying over the crowd. It's a DJI Phantom is what it looks like. But everyone's screaming that it's LAPD, they're spying on them. People just get so panicked and crazy about these things.
Yeah,
they're quick to assume, oh man, you know, it's the authorities, it's the government, the big bad government's coming to get you. They're watching.
Yeah, the media has really not done our hobby any favors, especially for people like, ourselves, because I like to go out in the mountains and do, you know, FPV or get video of scenery or pictures of scenery. I've never flown a quadcopter or an airplane inside the city with a camera on it. You know, I've always gone out into the hills or the mountains or the river or whatever where nobody was around just to, do landscape photography or video or just for my own entertainment.
There is nobody around.
Yeah, exactly. I live out in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, I fly my Blade with its camera, you know, in the backyard up, through the trees and even out in the front yard some. But
are you sure you're flying and not crashing into trees?
Okay, that was one time with
That's the only video I've seen is you crashing into trees in your backyard. You haven't shown us that you're flying around.
I have posted other videos from my quad. You just don't pay attention to all the videos I post.
Oh, I just see the ones
I see how I
crash and I watch it. You got to get my attention.
That's why I think a lot of the crashes I do intentionally, just so I can capture people's attention.
Ah, I see. Yeah, that's a good marketing what you got going on there.
Once I start putting some videos together for my new quad that I got, I mean, that thing's nothing but crashes. This thing's so small. I'm putting it into the trees, up against the house, put it into the deck. This thing's awesome.
I can't wait for that video.
It's going to be all nothing but crashes.
I'm going to be entertained for days.
Well, he's just trying to follow the two questions that everybody asks. How high will it go? And have you ever crashed it?
Exactly.
You got to make the video to show the crashes.
I'll do that. And with my Blade, I can actually show you how high I go now, too. It's because I got one of those Flytrex, the Flytrex Core.
Uh-huh.
You familiar with one of those, Dustin?
No, I actually haven't seen that one.
Oh, okay. Sure. I know Mike has it. He doesn't. He's old school with things. slow getting technology there in Utah. No, but it's basically a GPS logger. It's not a tracker. You can't use it to find your quad if it flies away like so many phantoms do. But it logs your positioning of your quad as you fly, and then you can download the data from it and upload it to their site, and they'll put it on Google Earth. You can go into Google Earth and it'll show your flight pattern.
On the map. I think I know what you're talking about. Isn't it just a little circuit board and you stick your SD card
into it? Yeah, it's just a little tiny circuit board. It's even got a barometric sensor on it and whatnot, or whatever you'd call it. So it knows your altitude and surroundings and everything, your airspeed. It's a really cool little device. It's only like $50.
Wait, what's Google Earth?
Oh, good God. that big round thing that's got the map of the world on it that you spin around? They've digitized that and put it in your computer. Google Earth.
Well, I have one of those in my living room. It just spins, but I don't think I get GPS on it.
No, probably not. Spin it fast enough, maybe. I don't know.
I think I might have seen that. Just now that you start talking about it, it kind of sounds familiar. I do a lot of the same thing with the APM board. It's got a data logger inside of it, so after you come back, you can stick your APM on your computer and pull your data log. You know, same concept.
Oh, okay, cool.
Awesome. Cool. So what kind of quads are you guys flying? I'm interested to hear what you guys are flying and what kind of setups you guys are using.
Well, I'll go. I'll start first. I've got three quads that I fly. I've got my first one I ever got was when it first came out, the old Blade MQX. That was Blade's, first dab in the quads. It had the AS3X technology. So it's not as stable as the new, what do they call it, the new one, the 180 QX. Mm-hmm. But it's still a fun little quad to fly. And you get bored with it. I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures online where it changed the body. I found these templates online. of these bodies you can print out, you know, cut them out, tape them together. I think it's pretty cool. So now I've got it's a zombie recovery vehicle. But
that thing looks awesome.
It buzzes around the yard really well, drives the dog mad. My other one, my big quad, and it's not really a big quad, but for me it's my big quad. It's the Blade 350 QX, or as it's now called, the FFM Blade 350 QX, and that's because it's the one crash you did see, Mike, on video of my blade, because their body is one piece. I wanted something that's going to be a little more durable, and if I break something on it, I can replace it for much cheaper. So, Fancy Foam Models makes some quad frames out of wood, and they've got one that is exact replacement for the Blade 350. So I got that, and so it's got the replaceable arms and everything goes right in the same spot as it would in the original Blade. It flies really well. It's a little heavier, but it actually seems to fly a little more stable. Nice. Still get good speed out of everything. So
that's pretty sweet. That's nice to have a solution that so you don't have to, you know, pull everything out into a new shell and start over, basically.
Yeah, because it's like 32 screws. That's just the frame. It's like took forever to take this thing apart. And the one thing I like about this frame, too, though, is it's extremely durable because I was probably up about 20 feet. And no, Mike, I didn't have my camera on it, so you won't be able to see this one. But I accidentally hit the RTG button, the return to ground button. And which immediately brings it into contact with the ground. And the frame held. It shattered the landing gear on it.
So that's on your 350 QX?
Yeah, that's my 350 QX.
So I haven't flown a 350 QX or seen one yet. What is that return to ground do?
It's a lot like return to home, where we're when the RTH, you hit it, it will level out, bring it to where you took off from, and land it.
Mm-hmm.
RTG, or return to ground, is you hit that, it immediately stops all four motors and it comes straight to the ground.
Oh, really? So when would you use that?
Typically, you're supposed to use it once you've got it on the ground and you just want to stop the motors. But, you're in a hurry, you got to go to the bathroom. Quick, return to ground.
Oh, I see.
When you need a weekend project to rebuild something.
You want to spend some more money. You're bored, you got nothing to build. That's the button you want to hit.
So it returns to ground. Awesome.
It returns to ground. Wherever it might be, it returns straight to the ground.
Awesome.
Well, my newest boat I have, check switch. I got my early Father's Day working. Gift. I got it last week.
Yeah, what were you saying about Father's Day?
Oh, early. Yeah, I got an early Father's Day gift last week. Came in the mail from Amazon. I've got the new Hubson 107D FPV quad. And it's like this. It's not as small as the Estes. Little bitty tiny micro quad, what they call that, the Protos
X4. Yeah.
But this, it fits in the size of your palm, and it's the most durable little thing. I've beaten the crap out of this thing already. I don't know how many flights. I've probably put on 24 flights on this thing. So I ordered a whole bunch of batteries as well. But it's got a camera built into it. Plus the screen, the transmitter has a big screen in it, so you can fly it FPV. Granted, the range isn't huge, but I'm flying in my backyard, which is plenty enough space for me.
How much right was now. This little thing?
I got it through Amazon, and the whole thing, transmitter and radio, or the transmitter and the quad, was $172.
Really?
So it's, I think most places are selling it between $170 and $180, somewhere around there. But Amazon, free shipping, being a Prime member. I had it in 2 days, ordered it on Monday, had it on Wednesday.
Nice.
And had it out of the box and charged and flying Wednesday night. Flew it Thursday, Friday. Flew it Saturday, Sunday. Haven't flown it yet today. Haven't had a chance because I'm doing this podcast. Otherwise, I'd be flying it. But
yeah, I'm going to have to get one of those.
What kind of a battery pack does it have?
It's easy to charge. It's kind of cool. They're 3.7 single cells. I'm not sure of the whole capacity on these things, but they use the low-C connectors, the mini connectors for the low-C, for their small cars and such.
Ones?
Yeah, the little bitty things. And but that takes like 30 minutes to charge. It comes with a USB charger, a charge pack to plug it into. But And, you know, it takes 30 minutes to charge. I've ordered a couple extra batteries. It flies about 6-7 minutes. Unless you're really flying it crazy, then it's about 5 minutes. But you're getting video the whole time.
Nice.
And what's cool is it has basically, in a way, built-in telemetry because it monitors your battery pack in the quad.
That's awesome. I might have to get one of these and, you know, see what kind of videos and stuff, crazy videos we can make, you know, and post them in the group. And have some kind of contest with all the hosts or whatever, whoever gets one, you know. We can talk Dustin into getting one and maybe Ryan getting one and, you know,
You guys got to do it. And if you already have, if you guys fly FPV, if you already have Fat Shark goggles, just order the quad itself because then you can fly it with your goggles. You'll have to have a Hubson type controller, which you can get cheap, like $15-$20
Yeah.
If you get just a regular transmitter from Hubson to work this thing, but you can fly it with the goggles if you want. So, which is really cool as well. That's probably gonna be my birthday gift is FPV. So I can put FPV on my blade.
But yeah, FPV is a blast. It's addicting. It's a different type of
stuff. Well, everybody's doing it. So, like, since everybody else is doing it, I want to do it.
Yeah, you're such a hipster.
Like, I'm too old. I forget what they call old hipsters. But grandpas. Don't they only call them grandpas?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. I don't know. I'm not a hipster. But I wanted to get into FPV, but I was afraid to put that on my blade yet and then, you know, fly it somewhere and crash it into another tree. So this was a cheap option. It's a blast. You can fly it in the house. You can fly it outside. You can chase the cat with it. I mean, don't ever chase your animals or pets with these things. But it's a blast to fly. And you
can chase the kids, though. That's okay.
Yeah, chase the kids. This thing, it comes with these prop guards. It allows you to bounce off the walls, off the ceilings. This thing's great.
Nice. Oh, nice. You'll have to post some video from this. I haven't seen any video from it, so I'm curious to see what the quality of the video is from it.
I'll work on that this week. I'll have time. I'll get those uploaded. I've been flying it and recording. I just haven't downloaded any of them yet. So. Yeah.
And for the listeners, we post all of our stuff in the RC Hangar Time group on Facebook. So if you get a chance, you can join that group and, you know, see what's going on over there. Share stuff with us. Yeah, that's a shameless little plug, but hey.
At RC Hangar Time.
Spelt with an A, not an E.
A.
A.
A? You're from Canada now? A?
Yeah.
So when that records, does it record on board the quad, or does it record back on the controller or the?
Actually, it all records back on the transmitter. There's a little micro SD slot. You plug it in there, and you don't want to use a high end slot like you use in your GoPro or Mobius. It wants a Class 4 or Class 6, so you can go cheap. You know, a little $8 micro SD.
It doesn't come with the SD card though.
No.
Yeah.
You just dropped
all-inclusive package or something?
Is that a pretty universal codec? I mean, you just drop it onto any, you know, Windows Movie Maker and it'll do?
I have any video converter. It was a free converter video download that I had for a couple years. It seemed to work okay, but actually it had a slip, a little note in the box on one that they recommend because it shoots in 720-480. But it actually records in 720-240. So you need a video converter that can expand it back out to 480.
Oh, gotcha.
So I don't think every video converter will do that. Because that's the one thing, is they really took a step back in their technology with video. But for its price and for the size of this thing, you know, it looks good on your screen, on your transmitter. So I can only imagine what it's going to look like once I download it.
Why don't you show the listeners what this thing looks like?
It looks just like this, see?
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
I've never seen one before.
The podcast, dude, how am I going to show them this thing?
Awesome. Anything
I'll post
else
pictures.
To add?
Pictures.
Okay, you do that.
Actually, I did. I posted pictures last week of it. Hey, look, I got a box full of air.
Yeah, air. That was awesome.
It was inside underneath all the airbags. My little bitty amazing little quad. So that's what I have for quads.
Awesome. How about you, Dustin? Let's see what you got.
Oh, geez, man. I might need an extra hour for this.
All right.
We got to talk. We can't be 24 minutes anymore. We got to talk.
I still have the last podcast I talked about that TBS Discovery that I actually bought from you. Mm-hmm. So during my early years of quad flying, when I was building a lot of stuff, I had kind of got to a point where I just built and then I would sell and I'd build and sell. And every time I built something, I would jump up just a little bit. So I still have that TBS that I actually bought from you before we knew each other. And
I was going to ask you, Dustin, I don't mean to interrupt, but do you feel like he ripped you off with that?
No, I actually kind of felt like I ripped him off. I felt like I got a pretty sweet deal on it because I was selling my stuff that wasn't even as good as what I bought for more money than I paid for it. So I definitely felt like I got a good deal out of the situation.
I was just curious what kind of stuff, you know, Mike sells.
I only sell top quality stuff for cheap.
So that's kind of my baby. I mean, I've had it the longest. I wouldn't even think about selling it to do something else because it just flies different than most, like the Framewheel 450s and the 550s. It's got, you know, some stretched out front arms. The frame's a little bit longer, so you get a little bit different feel than just flying the 450s. So that's kind of my FPV rig. It's one that I really don't do any kind of work, production type work with or anything. And then from that, I have a Framewheel 450 that I put together myself. The TBS is running the first version of the NASA M, has GPS. My other quad that I have is a Framewheel 450, DJI Framewheel. It's running the NASA V2. And that's kind of set up to carry a GoPro. I do some FPV on it too, but, mostly just, you know, to see what kind of shot I'm getting with my GoPro, and it's carrying a Taro 2D gimbal. And then I have a Hex, that's a Taro, FY680 full carbon. And that's my big Hex. And if I really want to get some good stable video, that's what I use. I carry two 4-cell for 4.5 amp, milliamp batteries underneath that. So I get about 15 plus minutes of flight time on that. But I am definitely carrying a lot of battery. And then just recently, you know, the thing about quads is you don't go out like you do with a plane or a heli and fly a quad, you know, and do tricks and do crazy stuff. It's, you know, you got to pick your flavor. You got to pick your purpose. I either want to film or I want to try to do flips or, you know, it's not like going out and flying circles or patterns with a plane. So I built a simple copter V-tail, and that's kind of a run around, flip it, race it as fast as I can up and down, try to get through the trees. And that's actually made of hobby ply and quarter inch booms, and it's running a KK 2.1 control board on it. No GPS, no barometer or anything else.
Nice. So how is that VTEL different than a regular quad? How does it feel?
So the two front booms, they're basically built on a 90. So, you know, they got two booms that are 90 degrees to the center of the frame, and they're stretched out. I think the booms on that are like 16 inches, so they're pretty long. And then the two back booms, they V off, and they're quite a bit narrower than the two front. But the motors are kicked at a 45 degree. You know, on the right side, it's kicked 45 degree up, and then on the left side, 40 degree up. So your yaw authority is a lot different than on, you know, like a square type, you know, frame wheel. You know, you get yaw effect by spinning two motors faster and, you know, slowing down two motors on a regular quad. But on a V-tail, you know, you can increase the speed and get thrust in your yaw authority. So, I mean, it can just stop and spin on a dime. It's kind of like mixing a quad and a plane or a quad and a car together. You know, the yaw authority is just amazing on it. So,
okay. I was going to ask you, cause I wonder why you see those quads and I'm like, what's the advantage of doing that or purpose by putting those at an angle like that.
Yeah, it's just so much stronger on the yaw, and then that frame is so light that, you know, you can. I've been kind of a chicken to ever flip anything, but that frame, and then with the yaw authority, I've started flipping that quad. I'm not very successful yet. I'm pounding it into the ground, and luckily, you know, I've only broken props. I haven't broken any arms or, you know, the center plates of the frame or anything. But I don't know. One of these days, I'll be successful.
Nice.
So other than that, I have one of those little SD Proto X's. Both I have two of them, and my girls and I play around with those, and that's about it for me. I have more than I should, and have a good time with them. They're fun.
You can never have enough. That's how I feel about helis. I can never have enough helis. I always need one more.
You can always have enough helis.
No, I always need one more heli. Cool. Sounds awesome. So before we wrap up the show, let's talk about, you know, somebody that's getting into quads and looking to get into quad. What do you guys recommend for, you know, someone with their first quad and what to
Hubson. Look
for? Wow, that's quick. Hubson.
You know, I haven't flown that blade, the blade QX350 yet, but from what I've heard, with the amount of, I guess, versatility from beginner to, you know, expert flight modes, I mean, I think somebody could almost get into one of those and teach themselves how to fly. What do you think, TJ?
No, honestly, I would think so, because it has, you know, their smart technology and whatnot. I know a lot of people kind of frown on it, but the smart mode is actually not a bad way for people to get into learning how to fly quads. You want to quickly move out of that mode because it'll teach you a lot of really bad habits that you don't have in the other, you know, normal modes of flying.
Can you switch back and forth while you're flying?
Yeah, you can switch while you're flying. You can.
So if you feel like you're not comfortable in a certain position or a certain orientation, you can flip into that and get control of it.
Oh yeah. It'll help you get control of it. Now if you're inverted, it won't flip you. But if you get rocky, or out of control, you can flip it and it'll bring you around. And you know, there's a mode on there. It's kind of a hidden mode, but it's called Stagility, where it gives you stable plus agility mode. So you take your hands off the stick, it's stable, it's gonna hover right there, it's gonna, you know, hold its position lock, or position hold and whatnot. But then when you go to move the sticks, it goes into agility mode. So you can take this thing, do flips, fly around crazy, balls to the wall kind of thing, and as soon as you let go, we're getting a bad situation, let go of the sticks and boom, it's gonna go right to stable, bring itself level and hold itself. So it's got different modes you can flip into during flying. It's a stable quad. It's a little larger, so it's not as twitchy as the smaller ones are. It's the same as planes or helis. The smaller they are, the twitchier they are. And no matter what you do to them, you don't truly make them fly like a bigger planes or helis. But I think the 350 would be a great for beginner. I mean, I had the MQX first, but that was the first blade that came out. And then I got this 350 back actually around Christmas on the advice of Wade, told me to do it, thought it'd be a great quad for me to really move into quads, and so I get one and start learning. Next thing I know, he sells all his blade stuff off. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, I wish Wade could have made it today. I know he's got a bunch of new quads, and I even sold him a quad not too long ago.
What?
My Franken quad.
What?
Yeah.
You sell everybody else stuff. You've never asked, hey, TJ, want to buy something?
Hey, he just asked me if I wanted to buy it, if I wanted to sell it.
Do what?
He asked me if I wanted to sell it.
Okay, you got a quad you want to sell?
No, I sold it to Wade and Dustin.
You suck, dude.
You know, I think with the entry-level quads, I guess the real thing for me is how much money are you willing to risk on a break, you know? You take a blade 350 QX and you get in trouble and you bash it into a tree, or, you know, you press the gravity check switch. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a $2 prop that you're going to have to replace. I mean, you're going to probably be replacing, you know, the whole outer shell. And then how comfortable are you doing that? Are you going to be able to do it yourself? Or are you going to need to pay someone to help you out?
Well, that's the one thing I'll tell you. When replacing the shell, you have to replace the whole thing. and you have to be patient, but it's actually very easy. It's very well laid out, and their directions that they have online, video and documents and photos, explains the whole process out to you. So anybody, even Mike, can do it.
Easy.
Swapping these things out for another frame. But that's the aggravating thing about the blade, which is why I switched frames, is you break it, you got to replace the whole thing. And it's held together by like 1,000 screws. It's so ridiculous.
The blade does look cool, though. I'll give it that.
Oh, it looks bad. And
they got some cool skins for them, too.
Yeah, I had a pretty rad-looking skin on mine. And that's what I hated about crashing it. But I've seen other people in some of the blade groups. There's a awesome blade group on Facebook. But there's some wicked paint jobs on these things. It's just crazy. Yeah. They look pretty radical. I like them.
I think if I was going to suggest someone a quad to start out with, they have some smaller stuff that's kind of, it's bigger than that Nano, that Estes Proto X. Like the blade has the Nano QX.
Yep.
I think it runs that same safe technology that the Blade 350 runs.
Yeah, they all have that safe technology, whatever they call it. I know it's safe something. Anyways, yeah, they all, all the way down their Nano QX, their 180 QX, and now their brand new 200 QX that just came out a week ago.
Yeah, you're going to, you're obviously not going to get GPS and things like that, but
no.
You're also not going to be flying that thing far, far enough away that you're going to really need to worry about it. That's true. But, just like with anything else, you need to learn orientation for sure. And you definitely can learn it a lot easier on something small that you crash a Nano QX into the ground. And, with that Nano QX, those things are built like tanks. You can pound them into the ground and usually you just pick them right back up and they're flying again. Something you're not going to get in a bigger size quad. I mean, you pound that thing to the ground and you're going to have some time repairing it. But starting out on a little, one of those miniature size, the Nano QX or the Proto X or one of those Hubsons, learn some orientation, learn how to, maneuver it, do some figure eights and, in and out of things and spend your money on that rather than, that same amount of money fixing something big that you're just trashing over and over.
No kidding. And that's one thing with the Hubson. I also ordered, they sell, this is awesome, they sell a crash kit. It was like $20, but it's another frame. It's 16 props, 2 motors, and another battery.
That's awesome. That's a great deal. So, that's great. Real quick, how does that Hubson handle in the wind?
Amazingly well. I wouldn't take it out there if it's like, 10, 15 miles an hour, but
it won't handle a tornado.
No.
Okay.
Though with FPV, it might get some pretty cool views until it's gone.
Sweet.
But it'll handle a pretty good breeze. It'll rock it, but it'll try to hold itself.
Nice.
It's too small. It doesn't have GPS, but it's got 6 axis, and it does a good job with it. I'm impressed, and I'm easily impressed, but I'm impressed.
Nice. Yeah, I think you got me convinced. I think I'm going to have to get one. I think that we all should get one and do some.
I think so too.
They're just the
cutest little things.
Mike, you get one, and I'll buy it from you next week.
Probably.
Make sure you tell me before TJ.
Damn it.
That's the way it'll go. I'll get one for a week and be like, okay, this isn't for me. I need to sell this.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add in that, flying quadcopters, that's a great way to get into flying helis. It's a great entry,
into airplanes.
No, helis. Airplanes. You hover and orientation. But anyways, what were you going to say, TJ?
The other thing I was going to say about this Hubson is it's out of all the quads I've flown and seen other people with, it has to be probably the simplest startup for quads because you turn on your transmitter, you wait for it to initialize, and then it'll say bind to plane. And as you're holding the thing, you plug in the battery, the lights start flashing. You can sit there waving around. As soon as you set it level on the ground, then it binds and sets all of the sensors, and then it's ready to go. But it's like instantaneous. You don't have to wait, forever for the thing to.
So you do that every time?
Calibrate. It does it every time.
Nice.
So
Awesome.
Just had to throw that out.
Cool.
I think I'm getting paid by Hubson.
Yeah, I think you are. Are you sponsored?
I'd like to be, Hubson. Love your products.
Well, maybe you'll have to send this podcast into Hubson.
There you go.
Maybe they'll send us all one.
There you go.
Let's get on top of that.
Awesome. You guys got anything else to add about quadcopters and drones?
Drones.
Drones are bad.
Yeah, let's not call them drones.
I still don't call them drones. People that, you know, see me flying, they come up and say, you know, like you talked about earlier, you know, that's a cool drone, or is that a drone, or whatnot. And I tell them, yeah, that's a quadcopter. And so every time they say drone, I say quadcopter or multi-rotor, just to get that into mind too. And I'm not offensive about it or mean about it. I use those words instead. But I think eventually, as sucks as it may, I see our hobby eventually adopting the word drone, just for the fact that it's being pounded into everybody's head that this is a drone. The okay. biggest thing is getting the media and others to understand what we fly as multi-rotors, quadcopters, hexcopters, whatever, that these are not weapons. They're not dangerous. They're not evil. Well, I shouldn't say dangerous. They can be very dangerous in crashing or hitting somebody or hurting somebody. But, I mean, that's with any of our RC aircraft. But the fact is, I mean, they're not these evil things that the media makes it out to be. So, and that's my biggest frustration with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I drive a car and it's not a tank. So, you know, people don't call my car a tank. Why call my multi-rotor a drone?
Exactly.
But if you drove a 76 Plymouth, I would call that a tank.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Anything else?
Nah, I think I could go on for hours and hours and hours about quadcopters. And I mean, it's definitely a big passion. Once you get it, you know, it's a bug. You can't get away from it. Yeah. That's for sure.
I will agree with you on that too. I mean, because I've flown planes for years, and I've slowly started getting more into EDFs, and I love EDFs. I prefer them now more than anything. And I just keep getting bigger and faster ones. And I tried helicopters a few times just from Mike's encouragement, and I still have my little MCPX. I break out every now and then.
Oh, awesome. Gone.
I'm back. I'm right here. Where did I leave off?
I break out my MCPX every now and then.
Good Lord, I'm that far back? Dude, you got to get these technical difficulties figured out, man.
I know. Somebody needs to buy me a sound studio.
Low budget program. But... No, but I say, you know, I've been flying planes for a long time, and I love my EDF jets and such, and I've tried helicopters, and they're fun. You know, I break out my MCPX every now and then, and then I break my MCPX every now and then. But with quads, man, these things are absolutely addictive. It's like the crack of the RC world. I mean, once you start flying a quad, you want another one. You want one that does something else. I mean, these things are crazy.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have more shows on quads, and we'll get in more onto the FPV side and that kind of stuff in the future. So hopefully you'll come back and help us out with that again, TJ.
I would love to. You know, didn't go through the list of asking everybody else first.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully I'll get that Hubson pretty soon and check it out.
Sweet, cool. And then they have them that don't have FPV. I know they're a lot cheaper. You can start out with one just like it, but they're only like $60 with the transmitter.
Yeah. No, I want the FPV one. I think that's going to be a blast to tool around the house in the backyard and out camping or work or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I'm using it to teach myself FPV, to get used to that feel of looking through the camera and flying off of that. I'll tell you what, the first couple of times, it's freaky.
Yeah, first couple times I did FPV, I was in a big, 6-foot flying wing, and that was definitely scary first couple of times.
Yeah, FPV on a quad's it's even more different than flying on FPV on a plane. It's a totally different experience for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I did FPV a little bit with the that TBS Discovery that I told you, and it was definitely different than flying a plane. But anyways, that's all I've got for today. How about you guys?
Nope, that's all I got. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, anytime, TJ.
I'm good.
Glad to have you back. Hopefully we'll see you around more.
Sweet. Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Have a good one, guys.
Take care.
You too.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangartime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.